It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Netanyahu's decision to deny us entry might be unprecedented for members of Congress, but it is the policy of his government when it comes to Palestinians. This is the policy of his government when it comes to anyone who holds views that threaten the occupation.
I know that when we can finally see them as deserving of human dignity, everyone who lives there will be able to live in peace. It is unfortunate that Prime Minister Netanyahu has apparently taken a page out of Trump's book.
How can you conclude it's anything than what it usually is with them, which is raw politics and media attention?
Kellyanne Conway, Rashida Tlaib, and Ilhan Omar all weighing in on the fact that the two congresswomen were disinvited to come to Israel because they were going there not to meet with Israelis, not to go with the delegation, but they were coming over on the behest of a group that's helps encourage and sponsor terror. I'm going to tell you a bit more about them in just a second. And they were meeting with Palestinians, not with Israelis. They were doing the opposite of what they said. Rich Hetson has had a great report last night. I wanted you to hear, look, I have to tell you, I'm getting sick of this. This is making me angry. And it's making me absolutely affirm their loyalties are not here. Their loyalties are not here. They're calling as of this morning and as of last night that we remove a financial aid to Israel. I mean, they hate Israel. They hate the Jews. They make that clear, and it makes me sick. So I want you to hear it for yourself. They did a press conference yesterday. Let's listen. Clip 4.
They say this trip to Israel is no different than the ones before it. Members of Congress traveling to a foreign country to inform their views. Though opponents say theirs was a set agenda to push an effort to isolate and to boycott an American ally.
All I can do as my city's granddaughter, as the granddaughter of a woman who lives in occupied territory, is to elevate her voice by exposing the truth the only way I know how.
Congresswomen Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar say they wanted to travel to Israel to see what they say is the human cost of Israeli occupation and travel restrictions on Palestinians. Israel denied Congresswomen Tlaib and Omar entry, saying they would use their trip to promote the BDS movement, boycott, divestment, and sanctions, aimed at compelling the Israeli government to change its policy towards Palestinians.
The decision to ban me and my colleagues, the first two Muslim American women elected to Congress, is nothing less than an attempt by an ally of the United States to suppress our ability to do our jobs as elected officials.
The Israeli government did offer Congresswoman Tlaib a humanitarian visa to see her Palestinian grandmother if she promised not to promote boycotting Israel. She agreed and then changed her mind.
There was an opportunity for Tlaib and Omar to have gone earlier this month with 70 colleagues, Republicans and Democrats, to listen, learn in good faith. But instead, what we've seen is this bad faith PR attempt.
Yes, and it goes on. I want you to hear the part where Rashida Tlaib cries. Here's Rich Hetson again, clip 5.
Instead, they chose a smaller, separate tour. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu cited the trip's co-sponsor, quote, MIFTA, who is an avid supporter of BDS, and among whose members are those who have expressed support for terrorism against Israel. In 2013, after initially claiming it was the victim of a smear campaign, MIFTA apologized for publishing a piece referencing a claim that Jews use the blood of Christians at Passover. It has also posted articles celebrating those who have attacked and killed Israeli civilians. Congresswoman Omar points out MIFTA previously sponsored a trip for members of Congress with a similar itinerary. Israel allowed that visit before it passed the 2017 law, giving the government the authority to block entry into the country of any foreigner supporting boycotts against Israel. Omar and Tlaib say they plan to meet with members of Israel's legislature, security, and Israeli veterans. The White House maintains Israel has passed laws to protect itself and, quote, has the right to prevent people who want to destroy it from entering the country. The State Department says the United States wants equal treatment for all American citizens to travel, though it also says Israel has the right, as do any other country, to decide who to let in.
All right, that was Rich Edson on Fox. I thought that he did not play the part where she cried. She cried about not seeing her grandmother. Of course, that was complete theater because she was clear to go see her grandmother, but she changed her mind. And so it is a series of lies, and they're very good at it. I think Ilhan Omar is better than Rashida, but very dangerous, extremely dangerous. At some point on some show here, I'm going to do some extensive background, especially on Ilhan Omar, because her background, as I understand it, she's very carefully trained in the art of subversion and of, I guess you could see there's a merger between the tactics of the Muslim Brotherhood and the tactics of the far left in this country. Same thing, but different. And she's been well trained in it. She didn't come here just innocently as a young girl. There was a plan. And so we'll talk about that at some point, but not in this moment. Now, Rich mentioned that MIFTA, which is the organization that was sponsoring them to come to what they call Palestine. They won't say Israel. They say Palestine because, there is no Palestine. But they refuse to say Israel. They don't think the Jews have a right to that land. And that's how those two congresswomen feel. MIFTA, as Rich alluded to, but I want to repeat this, published what's called a blood libel against the Jews. Now, those are strange words to us, but blood libel was that they said that Jews had used murdered Christian children and their blood for baking matzos at Passover. That was a lie. It was used against them way, way back in time in 1290 and 1657. Now, these things we don't know, but trust me, in other parts of the world where there's a longer history, they don't forget this stuff. The Jews know this historically, and the Muslims know this historically as well. Well, this is, of course, before the Muslims ever came into being. But these were lies against the Jews, and they were expelled from England as a result of it. They were tried. Confessions were extracted by torture. This is well known in Jewish history and in Muslim history. And so MIFTA republished that lie intentionally in 2013. That's what Rich was talking about. The other thing they did when the first woman suicide bomber blew herself up in Israel, this is what they wrote. It was the beginning of a string of Palestinian women dedicated to sacrificing their lives for the cause. And then in an article by Warren Henry, he goes through and details how the mainstream media is not reporting what MIFTA really is. The Washington Post called them a nonprofit organization headed by Palestinian lawmaker and longtime peace negotiator Hanan Ashrawi. The LA Times, CNN, all of them, they've completely hidden the fact of who MIFTA really is. And so that's the part of the story that's missing. But none of us are fooled, are we? We are not fooled. And I think the president was right when he said, I stand by him. They should go back to the place where they feel their loyalty, because it isn't to this country, wherever that might be. Go someplace where you can agree with the government instead of undermining and subverting the will of the people, because America is a supporter of Israel. We have been for generations, and we will fight any change in that status. All right. A couple of news stories I want to tell you quickly. The Justice Department has submitted a legal brief to the Supreme Court supporting the president's decision to end the DACA program, that deferred action for whatever that's the other CA, childhood arrivals. And so remember, this has been very controversial. President Obama just sort of with his gavel declared that nearly a million people who came to this country illegally and by their parents when they were a certain age, I think it was before 16 or 16 and after, could stay legally. That was not his. That was a superpower that he declared himself. It was unconstitutional at the time. You will remember that Mitch McConnell and other Republicans promised that they would get rid of that as soon as they got reelected, and of course they did not. They were lying, as usual. So DACA has stood, but now the Justice Department has weighed in with the administration saying it's not lawful. Here's the deal. The Supreme Court will hear this case beginning in November. And, of course, you can imagine how controversial this is going to be. And the Justice Department basically weighed in with a legal brief in support of the president's position or the administration's position. But I just would predict to you, I can't imagine there's any way that John Roberts would vote to do away with DACA. I don't think he's going to do it. I don't think we can trust him to do it. I don't think it's going to have a good ending. So I'm just saying, here's some good news. Planned Parenthood has decided as of yesterday, and yes, I am laughing, that they're going to forego as much as $60 million annually from the federal family planning program out of Title X. Now, these are abortion rules coming out of the Trump administration. Basically, they're saying, well, you can keep the money, but you can't. You have to keep your services separate. And you can't be performing abortions if we are giving you money for family planning, for other services. You can't then turn around and also provide abortions. And so there was a way for them to continue receiving the funding, but they rejected it. They asked for a judge to stay the decision. The judge refused to. That was in the Ninth Circuit, which is amazing to me. And so now, as of what, in the last 24 hours, they are now not going to receive $60 million from federal dollars, which is what we've been fighting for so long. This is a victory. It's not final. It'll probably work its way up in the courts in other ways. But this is a huge thing that the Trump administration has done. Now, there are also new rules in other areas like giving employers an out if they have moral or religious objections to providing contraception and allowing workers a way to file complaints with the government if they're forced into being involved in practices like abortion to which they have moral objections. There's another thing they're doing. The Trump administration is also going to require abortion services to be housed in separate facilities from birth control and other services. But that's not going to take place until next year. But those are the kinds of things the Trump administration is doing. And you ask us why Christians support President Trump if there's no other reason. And there are many other reasons. That is a reason. That is a main reason. He is personally pushing policies that are saving lives and squeezing the abortion industry, really, hopefully, God willing, out of existence. And so, by the way, Planned Parenthood, if you don't need to be reminded, is the largest abortion provider in the United States. They make millions of dollars. They call themselves a charity. They take federal dollars. They charge for their services. I have never understood how they've gotten away with what they've gotten away with. But they've met a president that's willing to fight them, unlike our Congress. Yeah, so not members, not individual members of Congress, but the leadership in both houses, Republican and Democrat, have been unwilling to do anything. And so that's really good news for all of us. Now, on the campaign trail, interesting, I won't have time to do this, but there are three different statements I wanted you to hear. Beto O'Rourke was asked about how he felt about the death penalty. Let's listen.
Do you support the death penalty for domestic terrorists like Timothy McVeigh? And down the line, the El Paso shooter?
I do not. Don't support the death penalty. I don't know that taking another life will prevent the taking of lives going forward. Understand that some people feel differently, and it is hard to argue with them after seeing the faces of the lives lost. Hard to argue with those in El Paso who feel that way when someone came in and killed 22 human beings in our community. But at the end of the day, that's my belief. But I understand those who feel differently about it.
Yeah, you know, the point, was sitting across the studio chair from Beto O'Rourke, the point is not, the main point is not that it will defer or deter murderers, which I believe it will. But the point is it's justice. It's the right thing to do. It is good for the conscience of a country to do a kind of a corporate lawful justice to people who committed mass murder. And the last one is Bernie Sanders. Let's listen to clip 14 quickly as we go out here.
Okay. All right. Somebody tell me why I'm crazy. I want to be frank. I don't want to. Oh, there's the guys who can tell me why I'm crazy. All right. Anyway, as a Cubs fan, we don't listen to you. Grab the mic, sir. Hold it.
Wouldn't the Medicare plan, wouldn't that take away our right to bargain for our medical benefits?
Yeah, absolutely you would. Is that a bad thing?
I'm Jen Harper. If you're a pastor's wife,
Come be encouraged and renewed as we talk about the challenges and stresses unique to pastors and their wives.
The AFA Pastors and Wives Fishbowl Retreat is coming October 8th through 10th to Linden Valley Conference Center in Linden, Tennessee. The retreat is 3 days and two nights of relaxation and building relationships. Our host will be Pastor Bert Harper, Director of Marriage, Family, and Pastoral Ministries, and co-host of Exploring the Word on AFR, and his wife, Jan. And our special speakers will be J.J. Jasper and Abraham Hamilton III. Lodging, meals, and materials are included in your registration. But hurry, space is limited. Register today by calling 800-326-4543, extension 300. That's 800-326-4543, extension 300, or at repairingthefoundations.net.
The AFA Pastors and Wives Fishbowl Retreat. We'd love to see you there.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance each day to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for United States Attorney General William Barr. Mr. Barr is head of the Justice Department and the chief lawyer of the U.S. federal government. Micah 6:8 reminds us of the importance of justice. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for guidance for Attorney General William Barr. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
A Christian realtor gets evicted. That story next.
Truett McConnell University.
Hey, my name is Aaron Abbs. I am an undecided major, and I'm a freshman here at TME. And as soon as I came here, I fell in love with the campus. Like, I knew, like, God was calling me to be here at TME. And, you know, I couldn't get a better education than this. Like, professors who pray before class, who care about your spiritual walk with Christ. You are who you are, and they care about you.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
The Virginia Real Estate Board accused a Christian realtor of violating fair housing laws because she included a Bible verse on her website and wrote religious phrases like Jesus loves you on her email signature. The American Center for Law and Justice filed a lawsuit on behalf of Hadassah Carter, alleging the Virginia Real Estate Board violated her First Amendment rights. They say she's been harassed, targeted, and discriminated against because of her religious beliefs. To be clear, Mrs. Carter was not accused of refusing to rent or refusing to represent anyone because of their religious beliefs. According to the lawsuit, her client list includes Jews, Muslims, Buddhists, Catholics, and evangelical Christians. Well, let's hope the court affirms that real estate agents in the Commonwealth of Virginia don't have to leave their religious beliefs at the front door. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Hey, Sandy Rios back with you. I want to explain we had a bit of a technical glitch because I wanted you to hear that. Beto O'Rourke, of course, was asked about the death penalty as a result of mass shootings in El Paso, and he clearly said he is not for the death penalty, and you needed to hear that. The second thing was Bernie Sanders, and he was asked, actually, he's joking with his union audience. This is a union crowd. And he says, am I crazy? And then the union guy asks him next, so if we do this, that means that my medical, my health care bargaining, I won't have my union health care. Is that correct? And Bernie says, no, of course you won't. But it'll be better for you. And that's what I wanted you to hear. But so I wanted to make sure you heard what Bernie Sanders said to the union leaders, that indeed, of course you'll lose your health care and it'll be good. You'll be glad. That's what Bernie assures them. Of course, that's not true. It's a lie. It reminds me very much of what I've told you many times before. This is how communists in many countries have taken over. They promise the moon, but they don't deliver anything. All they want is power. And that's what Bernie Sanders is all about. All right. Well, last night, we're going to change the subject because this next topic is something we've certainly talked about many times, but it's been a while. Last night on Laura Ingraham, she had a mom who's going through something that I think many of you, more of you, horrifyingly so, are experiencing this in public school. Let's listen.
This is the start of the school year for many families across the United States, and it should be an exciting time for kids and their parents. But some schools are undermining parents in a new and extremely disturbing way. On the first day of school at Denayer Middle School near Modesto, California, a teacher handed out a worksheet asking kindergartners about their gender identity. It's called the Gender Unicorn. In a Chicago suburb, parent Jay Keck writes in a USA Today column that his autistic daughter's school encouraged her to identify as a boy. My next guest went through a similar ordeal with her son at Rutgers University. Full disclosure, she is not using her real name tonight. That tells you something about this debate. Joining me now is Crystal Lopez. Crystal, your son told you he was transgender, but what happened when you asked Rutgers questions about this?
They basically told me that they were not required to look into any of his underlying issues, so I could not find out if there were other mental disorders that were triggering this thought in my son. And when I asked the therapist to help my son feel comfortable in his body, she said that that was considered conversion therapy and that was illegal in New Jersey. So the only thing they could do was to continue to affirm my son and lead him down the path of transition with hormones and surgeries. As a child, he never showed any signs of feeling uncomfortable. This is why I question this, because if it was something that he experienced as a child, it would have naturally come out.
That was a mom from New Jersey. That's one state. There are 18 states that now have banned any kind of therapy that would counsel your child away from their confusion over their sexuality, unless it's encouraging them to have their gender changed, to have them become gay if they'd like to be straight. You are forbidden as a counselor, or I suppose as a church, I'll ask our next guest about that, to counsel them in any other way except affirming them. It is a shocking situation, and yet it's spreading like a cancer in the United States. Chris Doyle is a licensed clinical professional. He's in the business of counseling people who are confused about their gender. And Chris and I actually, I think, first got really acquainted when he was testifying in New Jersey to stop that so-called reparative therapy ban. Isn't that right, Chris?
That is absolutely right, Sandy. I was involved in 2013. Good to be here, by the way.
Good to have you here.
Yeah, I was involved in the process in 2013 when the legislature in New Jersey was considering this law and ultimately passed it, despite the fact that we had severe fraud by Brielle Guadagni, who said she was sent to True Directions, the fictitious conversion therapy quote-unquote camp that we know only existed in the 1999 RuPaul movie called But I'm a Cheerleader. So what we know is that these laws that have been passed throughout the United States in 18 and counting, actually, now Virginia is regulating it through the health boards, are basically passed on large-scale fraud.
You know, Chris, as you say that, and as I was reading to prepare to talk to you this morning, it really occurred to me that the similarities between the passage of these pieces of legislation in these states and the way abortion legislation was passed, the way it was legalized way, way back, are so similar. All the cases, all the stories were lies. And so this is what we're finding. But I want to talk specifically to you because your primary practice, as I understand it, is in Maryland. And Maryland now, as of 2018, has passed a bill, or I think if they passed it, it's SB 1028. You are challenging that bill. And you are like, just could I say, this takes tremendous courage. I want to underscore that before we start talking, Chris. You're challenging Maryland's bill, and I would love to hear the basis because I think it's a very solid one. So can you tell our listeners what kind of arguments you're using to challenge this bill in Maryland?
Well, thanks. As you said, I'm a licensed therapist in both the state of Maryland and the Commonwealth of Virginia. And the Commonwealth of Virginia, by the way, has just passed a regulation as of June 30th 2019. And I will also be suing the state of Virginia. That's actually really not public knowledge, so you're probably hearing it for the first time here on the Sandy Rios Show. But I'll be the plaintiff in that lawsuit as well against the Commonwealth of Virginia. The state of Maryland has passed a very similar legislation. Liberty Counsel, who are just amazing religious liberty lawyers, are representing me in both cases. And essentially the argument that we are focusing on in the Maryland case is that the law SB 1028 in Maryland is built on the foundation that that the government is allowed to regulate what they call professional speech or professional conduct. And we know that this was a statute that was struck down by the Supreme Court back in June 2018, just over a year ago, in a case that was brought in the Ninth Circuit, federal district, and then appealed on the Ninth Circuit. Basically, that the state of California was forcing pro-life pregnancy centers to advertise to their clients. And now these are pro-life pregnancy centers. Women coming in are women that are possibly considering abortions, and the pro-life pregnancy centers are trying to give them a message of life. Usually what happens in these pro-life pregnancy centers is women come in, they're looking for services, counseling, possibly to see a sonogram of their child. And after being given that picture of the unborn child, there's an amazing rate of women that decide not to have an abortion, and oftentimes they commit their lives to Christ in the process. But the state of California, in their infinite wisdom, said that no, that these pregnancy centers, who are pro-life Christian pregnancy centers, needed to advertise for free and low-cost abortions alongside the other services they offer their clients. And the pregnancy centers said, well, we don't want to do that. You know, we're trying to get these women to choose life. And through the Reproductive Act of California, the California said, no, you can't do that. You have to also tell them about abortion. Well, Supreme Court said, you can't do that. You can't force pregnancy centers to go against their sincerely, deeply held religious convictions by inventing a new category of speech called professional conduct and professional speech. And Justice Clarence Thomas, and who gave the majority opinion, said this is absurd. Speech is speech, and there's no different category of speech. It is speech. And this is essentially, this Supreme Court case, which was decided 5-4, struck down that Ninth Circuit opinion. And now we believe this is going to be leading the way to take down all of these quote-unquote conversion therapy ban cases, because this type of rationale, the professional speech conduct issue or argument, was essentially the rationale that all of these courts had used to upheld previous decisions in the Ninth Circuit and the Third Circuit in Jersey, the Ninth Circuit in California. And now we also see that in Florida, we have a case in Tampa, Florida, that actually agreed with the Supreme Court decision from last year, and also is now moving forward and striking down that ban as well.
Yes. Well, and to make it, let me just put it very plainly, using the arguments of free speech and the free exercise of religion, the First Amendment, not only for instance, I'll talk about you as a counselor who counsel young people that come to you who are confused, or parents who bring them these, and I'm sure, well, I'm going to ask you about your practice in a second.
Sure.
But also not just your rights as for free speech, but also the rights of the kids. The kids then don't have any right to ask for help. You know, you're breaking the law if you counsel them.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. I mean, I'm suing on behalf of five minor clients and their families. And that's just clients in Maryland. I have a whole host of clients in Virginia. And I think I told you the last time we talked, the clients that experience gender dysphoria or are experiencing transgender confusion or gender confusion, these minor clients and their families represent the fastest growing population of my clientele right now. My practice is literally exploding with gender identity issues. And you may have seen in the news that there is recently something like a 4,000% increase mm-hmm. in gender dysphoria in children. And now the government is deciding they need to study this in order to figure out why. Well, I can tell you why. It's not hard. Whenever it's something, an ideology is constantly promoted in the media and culture at large, it's going to be what Paul McHugh at Johns Hopkins called a craze, and gender identity, transgender issues, and really kids that are gender confused is an ideological craze, and it's now sweeping the nation. And the tragedy of it is that rather than getting good psychotherapy, like this poor woman, this poor mother who was on Laura Ingraham's show last night, and Sandy, my wife was watching the show last night, and she texted me. I was about to fall asleep. She said, "Chris, you've got to turn on Laura Ingraham, 10:46, watch this segment, and email them." and this poor woman, whose son goes to Rutgers, and decides that he's transgender. This is the craze that's happening right now all across the United States. Young people have gender confusion. Sometimes what's called a rapid onset gender dysphoria, which is sudden gender dysphoria that was not noticed or diagnosed or even pronounced, in earlier childhood. This is something that they're seeing spontaneous, and with teenagers and the amount and level of hormone changes that are happening, and all the volatility in identity formation, no wonder it's not a wonder that young people and teenagers have confusion around their sexual gender identity. But the tragedy, Sandy, is that these gender clinics and the counseling centers that, remember we exposed this back in 2014, 2013 with Virginia, all these LGBTQ resource centers, these counseling centers are simply affirming without looking at underlying potential causes, other comorbid issues that may be influencing the development of gender confusion, such as depression, anxiety, very common in youth, right? They're just saying, oh, yeah, you're transgender, immediately affirm them into puberty-blocking hormones and eventually, gender transition surgeries in order to take off perfectly fine genitals, permanently sterilize them, and replace them with new artificial genitals. It is absolute child abuse.
It's sick. It is. Yes, and some, and we can go into the medical more, but the kids can be rendered absolutely unable to ever have children by going through these hormone blocking. It can mess them up for life. I want to quickly insert one more minute of Crystal Lopez. She was the mother last night because Laura asked her, "Did you see this? When your son was little, did you see any signs of this?" And this is what she said. Clip through.
At the age of 19, he decides that he's transgender after watching hours of YouTube videos and talking to people that encourage him. So they can tell me that he's just not. He's not. It's something else that's triggering this, and no one will help him find out what it is. Basically, all our kids are saying the same thing. It's as if they're reading from a script. They tell us that they've always felt like this. They say that we just didn't see it. But I'm his mother. I raised him. If I saw something, believe me, I would have noticed. So he can't tell me that this was what he was all along, and Chris, all the other kids are saying the same thing.
Yeah, she's a pretty smart mom, Crystal. Chris, and I know that this is what you're hearing. You know what I'd like to do, Chris, with your permission? I'd like to open the phone lines in this next segment. And now I'm not opening them so people can get counseling. Let me make that clear. If you are seeing this happen in your community, and you have a story of something that's happening in your school, that's what I'm looking for, just news reports, not counseling from Chris. Our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Chris is leading a charge to sue. Right after gay marriage was legalized, this was the next big thing that the LGBT activists went after, and they went after it quickly and with a vengeance. I think we were caught off guard, and they've had great success. 18 states have already made it illegal for anyone to counsel your children, even little children, against a transitioning to another gender. And so Chris Doyle, licensed clinical professional, will be with us in just a second again. This is Sandy Rios in the Morning on AFR Talk.
Mm-hmm. no advantage would be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. After a raid resulted in nearly 700 illegal aliens being detained at food processing plants in the Jackson, Mississippi area, Koch Foods held a job fair at two of their chicken processing plants to fill the jobs previously held by illegal aliens. Numerous people attended the job fair, many of whom had prior chicken processing experience, and some were hired on the spot. Chamber of Commerce-type Republicans have long said Americans won't do this type of hard work. But that was a flat lie. Companies that hire illegal aliens must be held accountable.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association. AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
Alexa, play American Family Radio.
Welcome to the AFR Alexa skill.
Alexa, play the Today's Issues podcast from August 10th.
Do you want to play Hour 1 or 2?
Hour 1.
This is Trivia Friday.
Click Just Ask Alexa at the bottom of the Alexa FAQ page at AFR.net to get started. Then use Amazon Alexa to access the programming of American Family Radio.
For well over a century, secular progressives in the United States have worked to alter the very nature of our republic.
Progressives had no problem with saying we can leave the Declaration of Independence behind. For the progressives, there are no longer any God-given natural rights.
AFA Executive Vice President Ed Vitagliano helps you understand the progressive threat to the American Republic. Get your copy of this powerful DVD from the AFA Cultural Institute at afastore.net.
Brian Fisher here with the Life and Liberty Minute. Donald Trump promised he would add constitutional originalists to the federal judiciary, and he is keeping his promise. The Ninth Circuit is no longer a sure thing for the left. Last week, the court slapped down Anchorage, Alaska, because city officials sued a Christian-run women's shelter when it turned away a guy claiming that he was a woman who was 6 feet tall, had a full beard, and was wearing a nightgown. The Ninth Circuit ruled that the Civil Rights Act of 1964 does not grant special rights to transvestites because the word sex in the statute is a reference to biological sex, male or female, and not to gender, which is all in your head. This illustrates the proper role of the judiciary, which is not to make law but to apply law to cases that come before them. Judicial activism is finally being reined in, and that's good news.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. One of the most intrepid, impactful, and courageous investigative journalists of our time is former Wall Street Journal foreign correspondent and editorialist Claudia Rosette. Her brilliant reporting is the absolute antithesis of fake news. In a first-hand account of the most recent massive demonstrations in Hong Kong published yesterday at PJ Media, Ms. Rosette provided an invaluable assessment of what motivates their participants. Quote, Hong Kongers in defying Beijing may be taking on the Goliath of modern tyrannies, but even against terrible odds, they are committed to this contest. That's how much they value freedom. Perhaps most intriguing were the parents, who despite the warnings surrounding this protest brought young children. One after another, these parents told me the protests are all about their children. These are people who know what freedom means and see it as a vital legacy for the next generation. Unquote. Amen. This is Frank Affney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Quick point of personal privilege.
Yes.
First of all, James Jackson, Sacramento, he, him. I just want to say, can we please keep the chatter to a minimum? I'm one of the people who's very, very prone to sensory overload. There's a lot of whispering and chatter going on. It's making it very difficult for me to focus. Please, can we just, I know we're all fresh and ready to go, but can we please just keep the chatter to a minimum? It's affecting my ability to focus. Thank you.
Thank you, comrade. Okay, is there a speaker against name,
point
chapter, pronoun?
Point of personal privilege?
Yes.
Please do not use gendered language to address everyone.
Okay.
Quick point of privilege once again. Hi, James Jackson, Sacramento DSA, he, him. I have already asked people to be mindful of the chatter of their comrades who are sensitive to sensory overload, and that goes double for the heckling and the hissing. It is also triggering to my anxiety. Like, the be comradely doesn't isn't just for, like, you know, let's keep things civil or whatever. It's so that people aren't going to get triggered and so that it doesn't affect their performance as a delegate, okay? Your need to express yourself is important, but your need to express yourself should not trump or over...
Yes, well, that was part of a clip, and that was from the Socialist Convention in Atlanta a couple of weeks ago, and the point in playing that is I think we are creating a nation of kids who are just becoming mentally ill. They are so confused, and often it boils down to gender and starts with that, I think. Chris Doyle is a licensed clinical psychologist. Chris, do you not think that this gender thing is contributing to the mental illness of our kids?
Well, let me just say the clip that you just played from the Socialist Convention is a very appropriate clip for a very appropriate dialogue in the context of a therapeutic group, and I'm happy to offer my services to those two gentlemen who are so triggered by other people's opinions. But it's absolutely absurd that this is the way people are conducting themselves in regular life. I mean, this is, like you said, we are encouraging and raising a generation of individuals who are imposing their emotional and mental brokenness onto society and then claiming that it's society's fault and not their own to take care of themselves. Okay? So, Sandy, I'm a highly sensitive person. If I go into a conference and I am triggered by anxiety or different people that are chattering, you know what I do? I sit in a place in the corner, I put my headphones on, I learn how to take care of myself so that I'm not imposing my issues on everyone else. It's absolutely absurd.
Yeah, it is absurd. And at the core, you know, I see, look, I'm not blaming everything we're seeing on persons in the LGBT community. I want to make that clear. But we are seeing, like, in a lot of the Antifa protests, we're seeing a lot of activity by people who are gender confused. You know, whether it's lesbians or gay men or transgender, I saw it myself in videos this past weekend. And so I just think we're creating chaos. By the way, keeping with the notion that we are not allowed to tell anyone that it's okay to work through this, to stay in concert with your biological sex or whatever, Amazon is now censoring books. And I'm sure I know you know this, Chris. Many of them by Dr. Joseph Nicolosi, who was a leading researcher and writer on these issues, and many, many others. Amazon is actually censoring those books now. And another real-world consequence is that doctors are being punished. Dr. Paul Church out of Boston University was fired for something very innocuous, talking about the health risks of homosexuality. A doctor in Great Britain lost his job after refusing to identify a 6-foot-tall bearded man as a madam. He was fired. And so these are the real threats to our culture. Chris, before I go to the phone lines, because we've got some great calls here, is there anything in particular you want to make sure that we know and that something that we could do on your behalf, even as you file these lawsuits in Maryland and Virginia?
Well, I really appreciate just the opportunity to talk to those who are struggling with these issues and really reach out to the families whose kids are either sexually or gender confused. You know, unlike other therapists and counselors, my organization, the Institute for Healthy Families, we offer services and counseling for the whole family. In fact, we have two very important retreats coming up for the mothers and fathers of LGBT and same-sex attracted or gender dysphoria children, the parents. And in September 13th through 15th in rural Maryland, we have a weekend for mothers. And then in November in rural Maryland, we have another weekend for fathers. And these weekends help mothers and fathers understand how to love their children, not change or convert them, but love their children unconditionally and heal their families. And so if you're one of those parents out there that you're struggling and you're seeking answers and you feel like there's no hope, please go to our website at instituteforhealthyfamilies.org and check out these healing weekends. We just have a few spaces left for the Mother's Weekend coming up in September, and registration is open for the fathers. So thank you, Sandy.
Yeah, you're welcome. And we'll put that website on our Facebook page, instituteforhealthyfamilies.org. All right, Chris, I'm going to go to the phone lines because we only have a few minutes left here. Let's go to Daniel in Texas. Good morning, Daniel.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What's morning. Going on, Daniel?
I just wanted to give you a little story of my situation. My daughter, she's a senior in high school now. But around 12, 13 years old, she started this transition of wanting to be a boy. And it was slow at first, but then it got really, really heavy, you know, once she turned about 14, 15 years old. And she doesn't live with me. She lives with her mom. And my problem is I'm a believer, and being that she lives with her mom, I don't have as much influence on her life as I would want, and she is enabled by everybody around her, her school, her mom, her mom's side of family, everything, and it's pretty much just a very large support system for what she wants to be known as a boy. And on my end, it's like, man, I don't know.
Yeah, Daniel, I understand. Boy, I understand. My intention with this was not to really counsel people this morning, but you need a word. So be sure that you write down that website so you can get further information. But Chris, can you just have a word for Daniel here?
Yeah, Daniel, thanks for calling. And you know, your situation is real and your daughter's feelings are real. So what I would guide you to do is, number one, you know, join your daughter in her struggle of where she's at. You know, as Christians and as parents, we can't change our kids. But join your daughter. That doesn't mean you have to affirm everything she feels. You know, remember, love has room for disagreement. But your daughter needs to know that you love her. And don't take a combative role in your relationship with her. What I would encourage you to do is reach out to us, come to one of our weekends, and heal yourself and your relationships in your family, including those with your daughter and I'm guessing it's your ex-wife, and work on the relationships and healing the relationships. When we heal relationships and we learn how to love unconditionally the right way, good things happen. So don't give up on your daughter, but again, heal yourself and heal your relationships first. And just pray that God would send healing solutions and healing towards your family. Thank you.
Daniel, thanks for calling. I wish we had more time to just talk to you. But please stay listening because we'll talk about this again. And Chris is a great resource. So remember, it's instituteforhealthyfamilies.org. It'd be a good starting place for you to start kind of reading a little bit more about what Chris just shared with you. God bless you, Daniel. Let's go to Connie in Texas. Good morning, Connie. What's on your mind?
Well, I have a nephew that committed suicide about 3 years ago. He had no signs of wanted to have a, you know, he had no signs until he got into high school. And I know he had talked to my sons about how many homosexuals and transsexuals were in his school. And he got into these groups, the Anime and Laramie, where they dressed up and, you know, and then he started on the hormone therapy and ended up committing suicide at age 22. His parents didn't know he was on hormone therapy, didn't have a clue that he was going down this road.
Well, Connie, Chris, this is pretty typical, isn't it? Schools are not allowed to tell parents, as I recall. Does that include if the child is interested in being another gender and they give them another name, they can't tell the parents? But I would think the application of these hormone blockers, they'd have to get permission or at least report it, don't they?
Well, I mean, schools can't prescribe, doctors, nurses at schools can't prescribe hormone blockers. It's something that a doctor has got to do. But, you know, I think the most important, interesting thing that we need to point out from this is that, you know, the rate of suicide among post-operative transgender persons is sometimes upwards of 40%. And, you know, just like this mother in New Jersey whose son is identifying as transgender, you know, we need to explore the underlying factors of why someone experiences these feelings and help them work through those. It's always, you know, in 85 to 95% of gender confused youth, if they get therapy and they're not encouraged and affirmed to immediately go into gender transition at a young age, they will actually go on, 85 to 95% will go on to accept their biological sex and not transition. And so, and you know, this is interesting too. This is not just a message for the Christian community, because what research says is that those 85 to 95% of youth will actually end up, most of them will end up identifying as same-sex attracted or lesbian or gay. And there's an alarming amount of lesbian activists that are now anti-trans because they're seeing that the transgender ideology is permanently sterilizing them and having long-term effects on their sexuality and their sexual identity. So it's not just the Christian community or the conservative community that is saying, "Whoa, we need to look at this a little more." It's actually members of the gay and lesbian community that are saying that the trans craze is creating long-term damage to their bodies and their minds. So we need to think twice, look at the underlying factors, and get good therapy.
Amy in Illinois, Amy, this is very quick. If you could, I know it's hard. What's on your mind?
Yeah. I learned of a story from my daughter. She has a classmate, and she's in high school. And this was this classmate is a boy, and he went into the locker room to change after participating in sporting practice. And he removed his shirt, and in the locker room was a female who was identifying as male. And her reaction when he removed his shirt to change, she said, "Ooh, gross!" and then ran away or something. And the classmate of my daughter's just went and, you know, changed quietly. But then he was sharing the experience with his friends and was overheard by some supporters of this transgender female who was in the locker room. And the friends reported it to the principal, and the boy, the classmate of my daughter's, then ended up getting detention just for talking about it. And
Sorry, finish your sentence, and then I got to let you go.
Okay.
You live in a really
conservative, like Mayberry type town in Illinois. And it's just, you know, these mandates are being forced down people's throats that don't, you know, it's just insanity. I mean,
it is insanity.
It really.
Amy, thank you. Thank you. Chris, respond to that. That's not untypical, is it?
No, it's fact. It's becoming more and more normal. You know, the only thing that I think that you can do is you need to form other like-minded citizens that are in your community and stand up to this madness and say that, you know, this is not helping our children. It's only encouraging more confusion, and that there needs to be local common sense policies for privacy. And of course, we need to respect the rights of those young people that are identifying as transgender. I am not advocating against that. But what we can do is we can have gender neutral single sex stall bathrooms for those people to respectfully and lovingly allow them to have the privacy while not also invading the privacy of others who don't identify as that. You know, this is
Chris,
not something where we have to impose this ideology on all of our
I'm
kids.
I'm sorry, I have to interrupt you.
Access.
Hate this. InstituteForHealthyFamilies.org is Chris's organization. Also, we're going to put on our Facebook page a great article that was in Focus on the Family's Daily Citizen that lays this out, talks about the fraud that's being the basis of these laws that are passed in 18 states, and it's a good source for you to use to start that group in your school. Chris Doyle, you're a champion, Chris, and we'll talk to you again soon. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.